All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 94. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. Welcome back, y'all, back with another one, back with some more WMMA talk once again. Last weekend was an okay weekend. You know, we only had one WMMA fight. Well, I ain't gonna lie, it wasn't that great of a weekend. You know, the whole card to me, you know, I was kind of in and out on. You know, not just because it was only one WMMA fight. Usually I stick around for all the fights, but I really wasn't like intrigued last weekend. Maybe that was just me. Maybe just because I was a little busy. But, you know, other than the one fight, you know, I didn't really like sit down and watch too many of the fights, you know. So, yeah, I want to go back and just talk a little bit about the performance last weekend between Courtney Casey and Antonina Shevchenko. And, of course, I want to talk about the fights coming up this weekend. You know, really I want to focus on the individuals, like the, you know, the interviews with between the flyweight fights this on this episode, you know, because I might do a live stream where I give you my official picks. But this episode, I want to go in and just talk about these fighters that are, you know, really stepping up to the plate, you know, and you know, just kind of go in on, you know, give you my different thoughts on some of the press fight interview. Yeah, the press fight interviews that took place. So, yeah, man, first up, yeah, like I said, let's talk about Antonina and her victory over Courtney Casey. And then I want to talk about Macy Barber in her recent interview with Ariel Helwani. You know, I just want to talk about her as a fighter a little bit. You know, at the time of this episode, I did a little video on the segment that I did talk about. I just want to go in a little bit more about that. Also, Miesha Tate, you know, she's going to be making her flyweight debut this Saturday. I want to talk about her a little bit and some of the things she talked about. Also, Lauren Murphy, you know, asked some of y'all's thoughts on Lauren Murphy in her recent interview. You know, she didn't really talk too much about Miesha Tate. She was more into discussing her performance last time out, which is what, last September, right? You know, against Valentina Shevchenko. You know, a lot of things were said in that interview. So hold tight and we'll talk about that. And then, of course, we got Michelle Waterson versus Amanda Lemos. So let's talk about that fight. And real quick, Jessica Penney and Emily Ducote making her UFC debut finally, right? So yeah, it's not gonna be a very long episode like the last one, maybe like 30-40 minutes. So yeah, let's get it in, y'all. So yeah, this past weekend, you know, Antonina Shevchenko, shout out to her. You know, she was actually able to crack that 2-fight losing streak. You know, she got a victory. That was a close victory, very close victory over Courtney Casey. And maybe, like I said, that one fight saved her career. You know, I think it saved her career for another day. So, you know, shout out to her. You know, she did what she was supposed to do in that fight. You know, I watched it again, and the first time I thought that I could see where the judges were coming from when it came down to some people thinking that the first round could have went her way. But really, Courtney Casey didn't really come on strong until, like I said, that last minute with some good effective elbows. And then she kind of made the significant strikes look to be evened up. But when you think about the control for the most part of the round, I had to give it to Antonina Shevchenko. So I thought she won it clearly. You know, I thought she won it 2-1. But as far as like Antonina Shevchenko's improvements, I still think there needs to be another level shown there. And I mean, I don't know if she has that, because at 36, 37, and the way, you know, she's really approaching these fights, it's really hard to say if she can really hang with the big dogs now, you know, because, you know, she's already shown levels against Lee, Casey O'Neill. And I think they kind of are like, well, not necessarily Andrew Lee, but I think fighters like Casey O'Neill and even like, you know, Macy Barber, Erin Blanchfield, they're the future of the division, you know. And when you start matching up with those type of fighters, I really don't know if she can hang with them. You know, she can beat a Courtney Casey here and there, maybe a Montana De La Rosa, maybe, you know, and that's a big maybe, you know, that level of fighters. But getting into the rankings, that's another question. And, you know, that was a question I asked. You know, some people thought, I did a live stream the other day, like 3-4 days ago. And when I asked that question, can Shevchenko make it to top 15? Everybody misread the 15 and thought I meant 115. I was like, no, not 115. I said, can she make it to the top 15? Meaning in her division, you know, no way am I saying she needs to be a 115. You know, Antonina Shevchenko should be 135 before she's 115, right? So, yeah, you know, that I know some of y'all were just reading the title and just real quick to respond and think, oh, no, that's she can't be a strawweight. Nah, man, I said flyweight. I said top 15. So yeah, that was my question. And like I said in that video, I said, nah, man, I don't think she can do it. I don't think she can do top 15. You know, there's just too many killers in that division right now, even like just too many strong girls for her. So I think, you know, Antonina Shevchenko, you know, she's got to find something in her. You know, she's got to find that fire. She's got to step up the game. You know, her physical strength has to be a big presence. You know, she's got to start sitting down on her shots more and getting these fighters respect. Because like I said, Courtney Casey, I was surprised she showed her that respect. You know, I was surprised she wanted to show that type of respect. I'm surprised she didn't go after like everybody else did, not until the third round. So, you know, she kind of cost herself that. So Courtney Casey from here, I don't know if she's gone yet or if she's going to get another chance. We'll see. Right. So, yeah, that was my thoughts on the weekend. You know, it turned out to be a good fight. You know, I was glad that fight stayed on. You know, the Nina Azarov and Cavill fight, I really wasn't looking forward to that one because they're both strawweights, but it was going to be a flyweight fight. So, you know, that was really, you know, not a fight that was like, oh, man, you know, I didn't care. So it's rescheduled, but, you know, I'll check it out, of course. But, you know, it wasn't like when I was really dying to see, you know. But what else did we have? Let's talk about this fight weekend. Let's talk about some of these individuals that are on these upcoming fights. You know, I ran through and watched a bunch of interviews. You know, Macy Barber. You know, of course, she ain't fighting this weekend. You know, I just was listening to her interview on MMA Hour today. And who else? I said Misha Tate. You know, Lauren Murphy. I'm looking forward to this weekend of fights. You know, these are some good fights. The strawweight fight between Lemos and Waterson. You know, the thing is, it's at a crazy time for us because it's on UFC on ABC. And I think for me, Eastern time, the card starts at 11. So if I do like a fight companion for a couple of the women's fights, yeah, I'll be on about 11 a.m. You know, if I'm up that early, I'll be up doing the first fight because I think the prelim starts at 11 a.m. And I think Panay and Dakota, they kick it off. So I might be on to do that fight. I'm not sure now. 11 a.m. is early for me. It is. So that fight. And then the main card starts at 2 p.m. And Waterson and Lemos are actually, yeah, they're the co-main event. That's what's up. And Misha Tate and Lauren Murphy, they kick off the main card. Okay, yeah, okay. So, yeah, they got it balanced out. So, yeah, I'm going to definitely be tuning in. I might do the fight companions for those for sure. Well, might. I won't say for sure. Yeah, I might. So, yeah, just got done watching some of these interviews and looking at Macy Barber. Let's talk Macy Barber a little bit. Yeah, let's talk about Macy Barber here just a little bit, you know, just as a fighter and how far she's come throughout her life and her career. Like I said in a video earlier, you know, I said I had to really give it up for Macy Barber right now and have to say I have a newfound respect for her. You know, I've always had respect for her as a fighter. You know, I was never like this big, big diehard fan. You know, I always felt like she kind of jumped ahead of where she was, you know, as far as her talk. You know, whenever she talks, you know, about herself, I think she gets a little overconfident sometimes. I think a lot of people overhyped her, but I never once, you know, was counting her out as a fighter. As like I said on my channel, I always talked about her natural abilities. I've always said she's got the will to fight. She's a three-round fighter. She's dangerous. She's tough. She's got natural power. She calls people out. You know, so she has all of that. But one of the things that always keeps her, you know, I think lacking is just the fact that sometimes she can be a little stubborn or hard-headed and, you know, and kind of jump too far ahead, right? But with enough training and enough beatdowns and sparring, you know, butt whippings and sparring, and with the right people around you, that humble fairy can help balance things out. You know, they sprinkle that humble dust on you throughout sparring and training, and boom, you know, that'll help balance things out for you. And I think also age is going to help her with that. You know, I think that's going to help her with that. So I've always had respect for her as a fighter, you know, because she does put on shows. She's new blood and her mic skills are on point. You know, she's not one shy of words. So I always respected her in that. But like I said, after hearing her in this recent interview, I definitely had to give it up to her a little bit more here. You know, just, you know, the way she talked about herself, you know, improving as a fighter. But like I said, you know, Ari Helwani, you know, he just kind of jumped out of left field and just brought up, you know, the fact that she had been abused before. You know, she'd been sexually assaulted before, I think a couple of times, numerous times. You know, I don't know the age because she didn't really go into it. But still, You know, that's a part of her life. And, you know, when he brought it up, you know, it didn't like trigger her or anything. You know, Macy Barber, you know, she just acknowledged it and said, hey, you know, I'm okay. You want to talk about it? We can talk about it here. You know, she didn't really go in depth with it. But she said it's something that she doesn't really just build herself off of, you know, as far as her career. Like, she doesn't keep bringing it up, which I respect. You know, I can respect it either way. Like, if somebody brings it up, I think that's good, too, because it's good to know these things are happening in families, you know, when some people are dealing with it. And, you know, I think when it is brought up, it has to be, you know, addressed. You know, it has to be taken care of. That type of stuff has to be put on the spot. But also, when it isn't really acknowledged and she just continues to move and transition that energy into some positive, you know, I respect that. You know, not until he brought it up would we ever know. Like, I didn't know because I never really went digging for that. You know, some fighters let it be known, but her, she's just been, you know, moving on, going through things in life and moving forward positive, you know. Like I said, a lot of people might not dig her energy, you know, but I guess the way she brings this overconfidence and just this type of, you know, now I won't even say attitude, this full-on attitude, you know, it just transitions from that type of stuff that she's been through. You know, she's a person that doesn't want to be held back or taken advantage of anymore. So, you know, she's always going to be a fighter. You know, she turns into a fighter, and that's good. That's good. You know, that's why I even teach my niece and nephew, you know, them coming up, you know, you have to be a fighter in this world. The way it is nowadays, like, you have to have some type of, mindset where you have to think defense and you have to think self-defense, you know. So with Macy Barber, you know, taking the fighter's route after this happened to her, you know, and, you know, just trying to make something positive, you have to give that type of person respect. Like I said, she didn't really go into too much details about it, which, you know, that's, we don't really need to know all that because we just know what happened. You know, I just had to say to myself, wow, you know, that's powerful. Every time somebody can just turn to good and turn to even fighting or whatever, you know, to help just rebuild and give everybody else inspiration that this has happened to, you know, I have to give that person credit. You know, it's happened to other fighters, like I said earlier, you know, my video, you know, I talked about it. I said, you know, it's happened to fighters like Rose Namajunas. You know, that's why, you know, I have to kind of give some of these fighters a pass now. You know, like, it's happened to Clarissa Shields, Paige Van Zandt, and you know, like I said, Macy Barber. Some of these women, you know, it's happened to them before. And, you know, sometimes it kind of transitions to their attitudes, you know what I mean? And not in a bad way. You know, they just approach the fight game as, you know, sometimes they have a chip on their shoulder, you know. So anytime they feel like they're being taken advantage of, whether it be verbal or, you know, financial or just by reporters or whatever, other fighters, you know, it kind of gets set off in them. And you kind of have to say, I can, you know, respect that. Or if they just don't really have communication skills and they just don't feel comfortable around the people, like you see with Rose sometimes, I have to kind of give that person the pass now, you know, like with certain things. Also, like I said, it's not just women, you know, it's men too. You know, Jerry Gordon, you know, he's went on record and said this happened to him, you know, when he was only 9 years old. So yeah, you have to look at this type of stuff sometimes and just say, okay, these fighters, they go through a lot. Like, why do some of these people fight? But sometimes, you know, they've gone through things and this is therapy to them. You know, this is therapy. And, you know, with Macy Barber, not only is this something she's always fighting through and, you know, just using her career to kind of help build and put that darkness behind her, you know, she's also a part of that organization, Underground Railroad organization that helps try to put an end to trafficking, which, you know, sadly, unfortunately, I don't think that's ever going to stop. You know, it's never going to stop because, you know, that goes deep. You know, that's another story, right? But it's good that she's working with that type of organization. And, you know, she's trying to do her career, use her career and, you know, where she stands for good. And you know, like I said, I respect it also because, you know, she just said, like, she also said it's not just for the girls. She said, you know, I'm doing this for all the girls and the boys that have been through this. Because sometimes when I hear people talk about this, they just acknowledge the women. Like, no, like, boys, they go through this too, you know. Kids, we, you know, little boys have gone through this, you know, so it's something that, you know, everybody should be aware of. And I'm glad that, you know, she brought that up, right? Like, she didn't go too far into depth, but I just, you know, when she mentioned it, you know, a lot of things just said, oh, wow, like, she's really, you know, doing something big, you know, and that's something important for you know, not just, you know, herself, but for kids too that have gone through this. So yeah, I got to give her a lot of respect for that. But yeah, she talked about some other things, of course, too. You know, of course, fighting Valentina one day. And I know the one thing that a lot of people are going to hear is the fact that she said she's about a 1 to 2 year process away from Valentina, which I disagree with that, you know, because she is 24. And let's say 1 to 2 years is maybe like what? Still another 2, maybe 3 fights, depending on, you know, you stay injury free, right? Maybe you can get in 3 or 4. But with the way she's developing in 2 years, I still say that's too soon, because being at 24 years old, you ain't even prime yet. You got a lot of time to learn. You know, you could climb the top 10 fighting a bunch of fighters and get so many different looks and just build off of that, right? You know, I think what she's on a 2-fight winning streak right now. I'd say she needs to go in at least like a 4 or 5, like Lauren Murphy did or Tyler Santos, before she asked for a title shot. You know, I think it'd be wise for her to think that way instead of saying, you know, 2 years, because yeah, 2 years, you can only bag in like maybe 2 or 3 fights, you know? So do like the fighters like Tyler did. And I think that's the best way she can build up her dominance, because right now it's not about just seeing what Tyler Santos did and saying, oh, I could build off of that, or oh, she exposed her. No, you have to develop your own way of beating Valentina Shevchenko. You can't do what somebody else did. You know what I mean? You have to build it in your own way. So I think for Macy Barber, if she takes the Tyler, the Manon route, like the fighters that went on 4 or 5 fight win streaks like Lauren Murphy and really earned the title shot, along the way, she'll build up confidence in the skill level that might give Valentina some work. You never know now. So I'm saying, you go that right route and don't jump so far ahead, you know what your mental is saying, you might be able to do it. But like I said, with what she's dealt with in life, she very much well could not fear Valentina Shevchenko like you've heard other fighters have in the past, right? She might have that already checked off on her resume, or on her, you know, her keys to victory going in. Like she's going to be the one of the fighters like Tyler Santos that didn't overly respect Valentina. She could be that one, because hey, she's already dealt with a lot in life, right? So every time she brings it up and speaks with confidence, she could be that one to go in and not over respect. But from there, you got that one, but you still got to go in with the skills. So skills, that's still something I think is going to take her a longer process. Maybe, like I said, 3, like Casey O'Neill said for her, 4 years, you know, because even for Casey O'Neill, 4 years, she'll be 28. You know, 3 years, 2-3 years for Macy Barber's what, 25, 26, and still not prime. I mean, still not even, you know, prime yet. You're still going to be younger, and along the way, you can get those fights in. So, yeah, that's where I think she needs to move with it. You know, just get 4 or 5 fights. Don't rush into it just because you are top 10. You know, fight 4 or 5 top 10 fighters like Marina Rodriguez and them did. Carla Esparza, you know, bag them up. You know, go in there, fight Arujo if she beats Grasso. You know, call out the loser of Tate Murphy. Then you try to get Manon along the way. Call out Caitlin Chikag and get all them fights before, you know, you get too far up, and then there's no turning back. Call out Andrade, you know, get all them names on your resume, build your skills up. That's where I'm at with it for her. You know, I don't want to just see her get too confident, get one win, and then boom, think you get Valentina. Nah, you know, might as well take your time to build it up. But yeah, it was a good little interview with Macy Barber. Like I said, the more you get to hear some of these fighters and just see where they come from, and then just put the pieces together with who they are, I'm not really one to go in and bash these fighters like that, especially if they're coming with good energy and, you know, a positive movement after what they've been through, you know. So yeah, respect to Macy on that. But yeah, if y'all heard the interview, let me know what y'all think in the comment section. Like I said, Ari Helwani, sometimes he be hitting people with these questions like, I didn't know that was coming. That's why I was like, dang, he just asked that kind of up front, right? You know, he ain't even like segue into it, like, you know, he didn't have nothing to kind of build off. He just asked sometimes. So I was like, wow, he know how to get them, though. He know how to get the questions out. So yeah, check that interview out, y'all. But yeah. Like I said, you know, it is a serious thing. You know, this that organization is a, you know, it's a good organization for such a serious thing that's going on now. You know, human trafficking. I talked about it in the video too, you know, because I think there's a lot of cover-ups too. You know, I can't go into too much in this video. Maybe I have to do this on another channel or something. But yeah, it's like you hear about these young black girls that were getting kidnapped, like I said, around DMV area and, you know, Chicago, just disappearing. You know, there's something to that. They just ain't really speaking on it, but it's out there, you know. So yeah, any help they can have into that human trafficking, you know, the more the better, the more the better. So yeah, let me know, guys, what y'all think of that too, though. But let's jump on to this next topic here. This next interview here, Misha Tate. You know, got a chance to hear Misha Tate, you know, kind of go in and talk about her fight with Lauren Murphy coming up this Saturday. And I didn't really take away too much, you know, except, you know, her just discussing the transition and, you know, her bringing her kids up there, just having her little kids come up. I ain't trying to say her kids were interrupting. It was more like she was just having them come up, you know, in and out like they was at home. She's like, you want to come up here? I was like, dang, you know, people trying to ask questions here. But anyways, you know, Misha Tate, so far she seems confident. I mean, she doesn't look drained. You know, she looks like she's definitely ready for this move down to fight Lauren Murphy at flyweight. You know, her and Lauren Murphy have a little history as far as, you know, just kind of not even like a friendship, but just like they've crossed paths and, you know, she's helped Lauren Murphy out before, and I think that was back in the Tough House whenever she came through. Just small talk, things like that, little tips given here and there. But I think, you know, for Lauren Murphy, I think for Misha Tate, though, you know, the test is really going to be with the weight. You know, I think that's what's really going to come down to for her. We just have to see what the weight looks like for her. But one of the interesting things that she brought up here was the fact that she said something different than her interview from last time, in my opinion. I thought, you know, what she had said before was that, you know, she was ready for this move and this was something she was just looking forward to as a challenge. But she made it seem like it was more so Mick Maynard that wanted her to move down. You know, she said Mick Maynard wanted her to move down to flyweight. You know, he threw that suggestion out to her because I guess she wanted to know how close she could she get to a title shot. Where could she get close to a title shot, right? So he threw it out to her, and she made it kind of seem like it was more so his idea. Like, oh, really? Because before it just seemed like, she said, between her and Pena, they had no trouble making 125. Or, you know, she said she wanted to avoid fighting Pena, and she wanted to move down to 125 just to avoid that and go ahead and take out one of the other GOATs, right? So, you know, you never know which really is, what it really is out here. You know, I guess business moves. I guess since the fight is happening now, she's going to be a little bit more upfront with it. But that's what I thought it was. I thought it was mostly just her idea, but she made it sound like it was just Mick Maynard that wanted her to move down. But you know, now she's moving down. It's going to be a test even against Lauren Murphy. I think, you know, I think Lauren Murphy, you know, is still going to be bringing some grit here. And I think she still brings a work rate and stand-up game that still going to touch up Misha Tate. You know, maybe she might feel like she's going to be a little faster, but I still think that, you know, Lauren Murphy is still going to bring something to her, and she could possibly stop that chance of being, you know, that next contender. I mean, I know Valentina wants this fight, but shoot, you know, I think Lauren Murphy still has enough to beat this level of a fighter, you know? And, like I said, Misha Tate didn't really go into too much except bringing that up. You know, just letting it be known that she thinks she has the style to beat Valentina Shevchenko. She's confident in that. And she let us know that the kids were in the house. I know some people were talking about that. You know, they got the kids running in and out. But, we'll see, though. You know, at this point, that's where I'm at with it with Misha Tate. I'm just really curious to see how she holds this weight, how her defense holds up against Lauren Murphy. Because between the two of them, they bleed. You know, they take a lot of shots. So I think it's going to be just that situation where somebody's going to have to be moving their head more if they don't want to just get another split decision win here, or if they want to win convincingly. As for her opponent, Lauren Murphy, let's talk a little bit about Lauren Murphy here. Not going to go into this too much. I want to just kind of bring up the interview and I give y'all my thoughts. So Lauren Murphy, she gave her interview. It was like, 14, 15 minutes. And, you know, I put it up for some of y'all to see. And I just wanted to give you my thoughts here. But Lauren Murphy, she didn't spend too much time talking about Misha Tate. Like I said, she just brought up the fact that they had worked together before a little bit and she knows her. But her main focus was talking about the Valentina Shevchenko fight. You know, she said that before that fight, she dealt with a lot. You know, everything from, you know, the C-19 to a bacterial infection of the intestine called C. diff. And with all this going on, you know, she said, you know, 4 weeks before the fight and then getting the C-19 like a couple weeks before the fight. So much going on really stopped her performance, really stumped her for performance and kept her from, you know, doing what she wanted to do. And now she says that she wished 100% she had withdrawn from that fight. All right. And I know a lot of people are going to say right there. Now, my thoughts. Look, nobody's saying I don't think if she was sick. You know, I think she probably was. I think she did have C-19 and definitely had that C. diff. Could definitely have all of that. But my thing is, at that point, when you have all of this going against you, that could really mess up your body and possibly stop your career. I think the best choice at that time, not even caring what anybody thinks, it would be best for you to just pull out of the fight. That probably would have been best, because now when you already show up, put on that performance against Valentina Shevchenko, and after the fight, you know, it was more so giving Valentina the respect and saying, oh, you know, she was so fast, you know, she was like Michael Jordan in there. And even before the fight, you know, it's like, oh, we had a good camp, you know, we did what we were supposed to do, we were good. All that being said, after or before the fight, knowing that you weren't okay, and now this comes out, it makes people kind of think with the, you know, suspect chin. You know, they start to think, was it really real? You know, so I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe it would have been better for her to just be honest to herself, like worry about your well-being, you know. And I'm always that type of person. That's why I can say it, because I've always been that type of person. Like, when it comes down to my well-being, you know, I'm going to put the money aside. I don't care who's, you know, riding on what. You know, if it means, you know, me being hurt and I'm not at 100%, I'll have to put whatever it is on hold, you know, because you are your moneymaker, right? And even Valentina thinks that way, you know, self-preservation. You know, even whenever she had to pull out of the JoJo fight a while back, like 2 years ago, she took her, you know, she said, no, I got to have surgery. You know, we're going to push this fight back. JoJo, she couldn't wait. She took on somebody else. But Valentina said, no, I got to have this surgery. You know, even if it wasn't like the most serious thing, or even like even with the Ty Santos thing, you know, some things just happen like, hey, you know, you have to kind of push it back. With the Ty Santos thing, you know, of course, that fight didn't get canceled. But I'd say go back to like the JoJo fight. You know, she did push that one back. But for Lauren Murphy, if she just had so much going on, to me, I think the best thing at that time would have been to just withdraw, you know, because who's going to take the opportunity away from you if you have the proof? It'll come back. The thing is, it won't come back as easy now after you lost the way you did against her, right? Now, granted, for me, if you already think of Valentina Shevchenko as Jordan, I think even if Lauren Murphy was 100%, I still think Valentina Shevchenko would have won in the same fashion. You know, that's just me, you know, just off of the type of fighters they are. I think Valentina would have won regardless. But if you wanted a fair chance and you wanted to be 100% or close to 100%, because nobody's ever really 100%. You know, if you wanted that for yourself, since she knew all of this going in, even her team, they should have just said, hey, no, you can't do this. You know, you got to pull out of this. It's not really like boxing to me, where it's like millions and billions that are riding on you, like you this big main event, like if you were Wilder or like Floyd Mayweather and you pulled out the last minute, right? You just got to do what you got to do at that point. But for them, you've already seen fighters in the past have to pull out or push back. Like, she had to push this fight back. You know, this fight was supposed to take place 2 weeks ago against Misha Tate. So if she had to do that then, yeah, just go ahead and do it. Because now when you go back and look at all this different stuff said, oh, it was a C-19, you know, it had this shape, that bacterial infection. Like I said, all this stuff is probably true, yeah. But my point is that if it was really, really, if it is something that was affecting you at the time, it'd been best to just withdraw, you know. It'd been just best just to withdraw from the fight at that time, push it back a few weeks. You know, who cares what everybody says, and just do it. You know, just do it. Then you'll be back in a couple weeks anyway. Then the fight can happen. And then you can stake the claim that you say, hey, no more excuses. It's 100% now, right? Because now everybody's going to be listening to this. Because like I said, that was most of the interview. That was most of the interview just talking about the past fight. You know, I really want to hear more about how she feels as far as her weight now and what she thinks about Misha Tate going in. Like, she talked a little bit about it, but I think the main focus was her saying, you know, she had to withdraw from this fight, you know, so, or she wished she would withdraw from this fight because she wasn't 100%. Now everybody's thinking excuses, excuses, right? So, yeah, check out the interview. Y'all guys tell me what you think. But, yeah, like I said, if that was me, just pull out, you know, just pull out at that time, you know, if it was that bad. I mean, you reschedule, like I said. But now that you go through it, and now it makes it sound like you're not giving that person the full credit. That's what it's looking like in everybody's eyes now, you know? So, yeah, I mean, yeah, C. diff, I looked it up. Yeah, it's something bad. I know that bacterial infection to the intestine, again, like she said, can mess up your diet on what you eat. Now there's certain things you can't eat. So, yeah, it's a bad thing. So I'd have just been like, no, I got to do me in this situation, you know. So, yeah, check that one out, y'all. Let me know what y'all think. I already know what some of y'all are going to think on that one, though. So, yeah, let's move to these strawweights here real quick. I want to give y'all my thoughts on if I get up out of here. Okay, so Emily Ducote. You know, I think she's a very hard worker, one of the hardest workers coming out of Invicta, former strawweight champion, taking on Jessica Penney. You know, a very good veteran, you know, or once a good veteran in the strawweight division. Black belt, BJJ, very slick. At a time, I thought she had some pretty good striking, you know, I'd say for probably like 5 or 6 years ago. But since then, the games have been evolving. I'm looking forward to this one because I want to see what Emily Ducote can bring to this strawweight division, you know, because she has been looking better and better. And she's one of those fighters, like I said in the past, has been growing, you know, with L's and W's. You know, she doesn't just come in and win like a full streak, but she's lost a few fights here and there, but she gets better off of those fights. You know, she's really learned. You know, she's one of those fighters that's taken a hard road. She fought for Bellator, Invicta, other little organizations, all these different names on her resume. So I think with what she's been facing now, this is kind of like the that prime part of her career where it's time to put everything together. Say, hey, I felt this before. I've been here, been humiliated. Let's do it. You know, so going into this fight here, I think, you know, Emily Ducote, she definitely has the stand up. She has the timing and the sharpness down to be able to handle a fighter like Jessica Penney. Because even back in the day, you know, Jessica Penney was getting outstruck by some fighters. Like, of course, I can't remember off the top. She's been around so long. Jessica Penney definitely got pieced up by Joanna, stopped by Joanna. So I think Emily Ducote, I would have to favor her on the feet in that one, you know, just off of her timing and sharp right hands. But on the ground, yeah, you know, the grappler there is Jessica Penney. So it could go either way. You know, Jessica Penney, very good on the ground, you know. Emily Ducote has been submitted quite a number of times, I believe. I know she's been submitted by Emily Lima Leigh McFarlane early in her career. So I would say that, you know, with the striking improvements of Emily Ducote, she could win it on the feet. Penney would probably win it on the ground. But I'm going to go with Emily Ducote in this one. Yeah, but we'll talk a little bit more about it later. You know, if I do a live stream on this one, that's just my early look. But this is the big strawweight fight I'm looking forward to, the co-main event. You know, shout out to Amanda Lemos and Michelle Waterson. They are, you know, doing it with these UFC Fight Night attractions. You know, they holding it down for the division. You know, these strawweights, they can get the main events and co-main events like it ain't nothing. Well, I tell you, because they got these styles that people like. You know, of course, Michelle Waterson got the look everybody likes, but Lemos got that power. You know, she got that style. I think this is going to be Amanda Lemos, her comeback fight here. You know, she's going to step back in here and let y'all know what she's supposed to, you know, what she's supposed to be again. You know, she's going to kind of, you know, erase that Jessica Andrade fight. And she's going to go in here and put in that work. You know, I know it's not going to be easy because, you know, Michelle Waterson's a good fighter. I think quick on the outside. She's pretty underrated, slick with her takedowns. You know, she wants to take you down and get you in half guard and, you know, wrestle you. She can do that. She can throw some beautiful kicks. You know, her kicks are, you know, some of the best in the strawweight division. You know, so if she knows how to use her speed right and her timing from the outside, she could do some work like she did against Courtney Casey. Because people got to remember, Michelle Waterson is durable. And she's not standing in front of you all the time to eat these big shots to knock her out. So I think Amanda Lemos is going to have to be ready to throw combinations, use her timing, use her skills to cut off the octagon. You know, she's going to have to be ready to do all that in this fight, man, because Michelle Waterson will be moving. You know, when was the last time I said she'd been stopped or submitted against Rose Namajunas? And that was years ago. Since then, you know, she's had some close decisions. She's went, what, did she go 3 rounds or 5 rounds with Joanna? You know, that's tough. And, close fights against a lot of fighters. So she's showing how tough she is. So, you know, I know it's been about a year and she's had that career-ending injury, possible career-ending injury. So, you know, we'll see how sharp she is when she steps in here. But I think the movement's going to be trouble. And like I said, the ground from Waterson. But I think Lemos, you know, her leg kicks, if she knows how to close that range and, you know, start ripping those calf kicks, and she can set up the right hand with the jab and you know, attack the body. You know, if she uses her boxing well, you know, she could probably take Waterson apart here. And again, I want to see how fast Waterson is now after this injury. So if she's not that fast, if she's more stationary, I'd say, you know, Lemos could get it. So yeah, early look, I'm looking at Lemos to take this one. You know, I just think she's been staying sharper. Even in a loss against Andrade, you know, she's still been, you know, looking the part, watching her train. She's just getting stronger and stronger. Now, they are closer in age, so you never know. You never know how it could go in here. I know Waterson's been in the UFC longer and has more experience, and she's been having more wear and tear in that fashion. But, you know, you never know how age can hit you. But I'm leaning towards Lemos in this one early, as an early look. So, yeah. Should be a good fight night tomorrow, guys. You know, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Let me know what y'all think. But yeah, that's about it for this episode, guys. But we'll go in some more. You know, I just want to do my episode here. Then that, you know, we'll talk to the subscribers tomorrow. You know, we get this thing situated, because, you know, I'm just taking care of some business too on the ground. We'll see if I do slide in here tomorrow evening, but this episode will definitely be up on all these platforms like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Tuned In, and I put it on the channel as well. So yeah. One other thing, man. I was just looking at Joanna and her Mount Rushmore. Let's see her Mount Rushmore of fighters. Hold on, here we go. Yeah. So Joanna was talking to the Smo recently, and she gave her Mount Rushmore of WMMA fighters, right? Let's see what we got here. Let's go ahead and pull that up here real quick. That was just the one last thing I wanted to discuss with y'all and ask y'all, who do y'all have on yours? So hang on. Mount Rushmore. Okay, here we go. This was a few days ago. Yeah, ex-UFC champion Joanna shares her women's Mount Rushmore of MMA. And let me see. Yeah, in this recent interview with the Schmo, she released her WMMA Mount Rushmore. All right. So on her Mount Rushmore, Joanna has Ronda Rousey, Amanda Nunes, Valentina Shevchenko, and herself, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. So I can't disagree with that. I don't have a problem with that around Mount Rushmore, you know, because when you think about it, you have to kind of look at the ladies that have laid down the groundwork, you know, the pioneers, the ones that have inspired other women to fight. You got to look at the ones that have accomplished the most. The ones that were most dominant, got the best resumes, got the best skills, got the best records all combined, and consistency, and bringing people to look, you know, just bringing people to watch, you know, putting butts in seats. That's what it's all about. So all the names that she's got on there, I can't disagree with. I mean, if I had to put a fifth, I would definitely put Chris Cyborg on there because she's been one of the most dominant champions. You know, she's a four organization world champion, still going to this day. You know, possibly could go into PFL to get a fifth. You know, if she could fight Kayla Harrison, or, you know, there's just so many different names for her. Well, not so many, but, you know, so many other options where she could go as far as boxing, lightweight and PFL, and just continue to stay in Bellator. So she's one I would have put on there. But, yeah, I can't disagree with this. You know, Ronda Rousey got a lot of women in the fighting. You know, if you ask a lot of these women, they say Ronda. You know, she's been one of the most dominant. Very one-dimensional, of course, but when you think WMMA in 2015, 2016, she brought everybody out. She had the men coming out. You know, she was kind of like Mike Tyson in that bantamweight division at the time. You know, just finishing people off in an exciting fashion. Everybody was coming out. Lover or hater, they were paying to see her. You know, so that's somebody that paved the way, bringing in that attitude and, you know, that aura, that energy that WMMA needed. You know, and you know, you got to remember, she's the reason why Dana White started signing women. You know, I remember back in the day, he said he would never sign women to the UFC. And what did he do? He ate his words when Ronda Rousey came along. So, yeah, she's definitely somebody that you got to put up there, right? Amanda Nunes. Like I say, I don't do the GOAT talk over here anymore, but Amanda Nunes, got to put her up there. She's one of them fighters that got many names on her resume. Double champion. You know, she's a first double champion in WMMA, right? You know, bantamweight and featherweight. And she brings excitement, skills, all of that. Then you go look at Valentina Shevchenko. I mean, hey, what else can you say? Dominant champion at flyweight now. Also an exciting fighter. Has skills that inspires a lot of people. And, you know, a lot of women can watch and learn from her. You know, consistent, disciplined, all of that. And then, you know, Joanna putting herself up there. Probably the most consistent strawweight champion we ever had. Exciting, you know, always going to the decision. But you wanted her to go to the cards because she was always fighting in there. And she was putting on exciting fights. Talked a lot of trash. Love her, hate her as well, you know. Might get on your nerves, but you want to see her in there fight. You want to see her either beat up an opponent or her get beat up. You know what I mean? So they all laid down something for WMMA, and you know they've earned that spot up there. If there is a Mount Rushmore for now, you know what I mean. I mean, the game is still growing, so it could change 10, 20 years down the line. But as of right now, if you're looking at the ones that got me in the WMMA and keep me watching, or I'll just pop on their fights on UFC Fight Pass or ESPN Plus, these are some of the women that I'll go back and watch for sure. So, yeah, I definitely agree with her on that. You know, these are some good fighters. So if I had to put mine, I ain't even going to do that now because, like I said, I ain't doing GOAT talk, but I'm just talking about her. So let me know, guys, who's on your Mount Rushmore, though. So, yeah, guys, got a good fight weekend coming up, so I'm going to be tuning in. We'll talk live after I post this podcast episode. Of course, we'll do, like, the after-party show. That's basically what it is. You know, so, yeah, we'll get that in, y'all. So that's all I got, guys. Let me know what y'all think of this episode, y'all thoughts on the different topics on this episode. My final thoughts overall, should be a good weekend. You know, like I said, Macy Barber, give her more so a lot of respect here for what she's doing. But like I said, for Lauren Murphy, I said at this point, don't even explain yourself, because you know how that's going to move now. You know, that's how it's going to move. Just go back in there, do what you do if you want to try to earn that title shot again, and just leave it be. You know, don't even tell people what's wrong with you, because you know, people, the fight fans, they ain't out there for your sympathy. You know, they ain't trying to hear that, right? So, yeah, early looking at Emily Ducote, Amanda Lemos, and Lauren Murphy to win their fights. Let me know, who you got. Like I said, subscribe to the show on all those platforms I named earlier. And, we'll be back with the after show, guys. Combo Breaker 99, I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.